I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Richard Ransley and Nora Jean Salazar. They are with the Solace Crisis Treatment Center here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So let's talk for a moment about Solace, which years ago was called the Rape Crisis Center. What do you do there?
Thank you, Mary Charlotte, for having us on. Solace celebrated its 40th anniversary last year, actually, and we began as a very small grassroots rape crisis center, and over the years we have expanded our mission, and we now have three components. We have a clinical department, which treats post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety disorders, and other things associated with trauma or sexual assaults or other horrible adversities that people have to struggle with. We have an education and prevention department that does a great deal of work in the public schools, and not just the public schools, but all schools in Santa Fe, even to the college level. And they do education and prevention programming and activities and talks around issues like bullying, sexual harassment, abuse, reporting abuse of children, those sorts of issues. And then we have our Family Advocacy Center, which Nora Jean is going to tell you some more about. But the Family Advocacy Center does some specialized services for children and families in cases where there have been allegations of abuse or neglect of children.
Let's talk for a moment about prevention. How do you do prevention? What are you preventing?
We are trying to prevent interpersonal violence and all the ugliness that goes with that. And what we know about prevention work now is the earlier you reach children, the more effective it can be. And you need to reach young people repeatedly, again and again, at different developmental stages. So we start working with kids even in Head Start programs.
What do you do with them? What do you tell them?
We're teaching them about good touch, bad touch, and body boundaries, and what's okay and what's not okay, and to talk to your parents or an adult if you're uncomfortable with something that someone else might be doing to you or saying to you. And so the work starts out with the very young, and it goes all the way up through high school and college age kids, where the message then is more about, it's a more sophisticated message, obviously, and it's about all the ways that people can oppress other people or abuse other people or put other people down, and why none of us should just be a bystander, why we should all be active and stand up for what's right and not let people do ugly stuff to other people. So there's a lot more to it, but that's the guts of it.
Many of us don't really have the opportunity to do at least that kind of direct prevention because you don't really see it happening.
That's right. It gets a lot of publicity now, and a lot of people are aware of these issues because of things like school shootings and things like that, where someone who may have been bullied as a child then decides to commit horrible violence to other children. It's really incumbent on all of us as a community, parents, families, teachers, everybody, to involve ourselves with young people and to try to model the right behaviors and to try to put the message out there that we want to be kind and we want to be positive, and we don't want to attack people and stereotype people or hurt people.
When somebody has been the victim of a violent crime or the survivor of a violent crime, what kind of help and support do they most need? I imagine there's sort of a progression of things that they need over time.
Yeah, there's no one answer to that. They may need a number of things. Most people initially are confused. They're upset. They may be very afraid. And so our advocates at Solace often work with people in the immediate aftermath of an assault or something. And they need information. They need to know what their rights are. They need access to phone numbers. Sometimes people need help interacting with law enforcement or reporting an issue or reporting a crime. Later on, people may need specialized counseling services, or they may often need reassurance and information about resiliency, about how to take care of themselves, what to look out for. Most people are resilient in the face of an adverse event, but there's always a possibility that people can develop lasting symptoms, which could develop into something like post-traumatic stress, and that's where we can also help them with specialized treatment.
What are some of the main causes of post-traumatic stress that you see here in this community?
Oh, gosh. Sexual assault, interpersonal violence of all kinds, domestic violence. We see people who have had terrible car wrecks, and now they're terrified to drive. They're afraid to drive. We see people who have had the sudden death of a loved one. It could be a homicide case. It could be an accident. It could be someone just dying in a medical emergency. We've seen people here who came to Santa Fe after Hurricane Katrina, for example. So there's all kinds of ways. First responders can develop post-traumatic stress, law enforcement, and of course we all know about our returning soldiers and the veterans getting combat-related stress. So there's many, many different ways that people can develop post-traumatic stress. The main thing to remember, though, is that it's a treatable condition, and most people can recover. It is not something that has to be a lifelong tragic disability.
I would imagine that people coming out of prison have PTSD as well.
That's a good point. We've seen many people who may have spent time in prison and been exposed to a lot of violence in the prison, may have nightmares about certain experiences they had in there. And unfortunately, sexual assaults also happen in prison. And so we see folks in that category also.
Let's talk about the advocacy program. There's an advocacy training coming up, and this is a very important way that people in the community can get involved with the Solace Crisis Treatment Center.
Yes. So we will be having a 40-hour advocacy training, and it's open to the community, to other agencies wanting to send employees to get maybe some more updated information. We have presenters that come in from around New Mexico, from Albuquerque to, you know, from Vegas. So it's really well worth the education and the time put forth for the two weekends, which will begin January 24th and continue. Which is this Friday. And we'll continue for the first weekend, January 24th, 25th, 26th. And that first night is going to begin at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sunday will both be from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. with a lunch break. We do take a break in between the two weekends because it is 40 hours.
Oh, okay.
So we will begin again after the 1st of February, and that will continue on February 7th, 8th, and 9th with the same time frames.
So what do you learn during this, and what are you being trained to do? I mean, these are volunteer advocates just from the community. I can come in, anybody can come in and be
right.
An advocate.
Right. So what we're teaching you is, first of all, to be a volunteer at Solace Crisis Treatment Center. And what that pertains to is our 24/7 crisis hotline. And you are going to learn how to basically answer a phone call when somebody's in need in their crisis. And their crisis can look very different from one person to another, but it's about being able to contain, resource, and refer out for that person.
Do a lot of calls come in on the crisis line?
You know what? We do see a lot of calls. There's no rhyme or reason to it, I want to say. There's nothing we can say that says this month is going to be a high month. It just it just really depends. Usually the holidays bring a lot of calls in, unfortunately, but, you know, our advocates are trained to handle any call at any time.
And so what kinds of calls come in? I mean, what types of stories do people hear, do advocates hear?
Yeah, great question. So you could get a call, let's say, from the simplest call is an information call. They just need a phone number that they can't seem to find. So we have our advocates trained with the best resources to give those phone numbers out. From that, we could go to maybe somebody is in their own crisis and they need somebody to talk to briefly. You know, we do listen. We're not counselors, but again, we can refer them to the right people to get that need met. And then going into maybe somebody doesn't know the process of how to report a crime. We have our advocates trained in the fashion that they know they can explain it, or they can actually refer the caller into Solace on the next business day and speak with an advocate face-to-face. Because sometimes that might be a little bit better than talking over the phone with the caller, but all the advocates are trained to do what they see best for the caller.
So the advocates basically are kind of on call outside of normal business hours.
Yes.
So they might get a call in the middle of the night or at 9 in the evening or whatever.
Yes. Another type of call that I want to mention, an advocate can get called to a SANE exam, which is a sexual assault nurse examination, and that can be at any time. And that can be called to the hospital here in Santa Fe, Christus St. Vincent, or they can get called to our actual facility at Solace, where we have a sexual assault nurse examiner there on site.
And so the role of the advocate in that case would be to provide just support and companionship for the person who's been assaulted.
Correct.
What do the advocates report getting out of this training and then the year that they commit to being advocates?
You know, things I've heard from just the training alone is that the unknown. I think there's a lot of community members that didn't know, first of all, that these type of crimes happen in Santa Fe. And second, that there's just a lot of help out there that people don't know about or didn't know was in town. And getting out of the whole program itself, I think everybody has a sense of feeling needed and being able to help one another.
We're talking to Nora Jean Salazar and Richard Ransley from the Solace Crisis Treatment Center. So having done this work in this community for 40 years, it's a very long time for a center like this to be going. What are some of the lessons that you feel that you've learned as an institution over the years?
That's a great question. The first thing that occurs to me is extremely important in the world of human service work, and that is that every caller, every person who walks in the door, every individual is unique. So there is no cookie cutter way to meet the needs of people, particularly when they're faced with adversity or faced with crisis. So our approach is always tailored to the unique situation of that unique individual. And another thing that occurs to me is that this is sort of a piece of history. When the Rape Crisis Center was founded, and for much of its existence, its stated mission was to end sexual violence. We now know that that's a great mission, but it's a tough thing to accomplish. And so there is a terrible persistence of interpersonal violence. We hear stories sometimes that are difficult for us to hear, And we're highly trained professionals. So I just want to emphasize that this issue is terribly important. The costs of unaddressed or untreated trauma for our not just our community but for the nation are astronomical, and help is available. So we urge people who may have been victims themselves or be aware of other people who have been victims to seek out the resources they need, because you can get better.
So the advocacy training is coming up starting this Friday night, and if people want to find out more information on how they can become advocates, what should they do?
The best way to get more information about the advocacy training would be to directly call myself, Nora Salazar, at Solace, and I can give you all the information. I can send you the agenda, and we can just talk about what it really comes down to and what you're going to be doing as an advocate for Solace.
And the Solace number is readily available online and in that antiquated device called the phone book. And the number is 505-988-1951, and Nora Jean's extension is 103. There's also there's a party coming up to which Solace is a beneficiary.
Yes, ma'am. We want to invite everybody out to the Santa Fe Reporters annual Valentine's Day party, which will be on February 12th this year. It's called Fire and Ice Party. It's at the Inn of Loretto, and you can get tickets on the Santa Fe Reporter website. And all the proceeds from this wonderful fun evening from 7 to 10, music, dancing, and food and drinks, all the proceeds will benefit Solace.
Excellent. So that's one way to participate. Another way is becoming an advocate, and we will have more updates as time goes on. And I want to thank you both very much for being here, Nora Jean Salazar and Richard Ransley from Solace Crisis Treatment Center. Thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.